Other questions or comments? Councilman Ricks.
To make sure that we're all on the same page here, and as there have been several amendments that affect the tax rate, where does the budget with its amendments currently stand as to the increase in the tax rate? It's my understanding that the mayor's proposed budget would involve a 1.48% tax increase, but I want to make sure that I'm understanding where that number stands as of right now with the current amendments.
So I'm happy to compare notes with the finance team over there, but the first amendment added 1.7 million to the levy. The eighth amendment reduced by 1.3 million. So the running total would be 400,000 increase to the levy. The subsequent amended corrected part of that or addressed part of that and brought it back by $650,000. So per my math, the running total to the increase to the levy is $1,050,000. And I'm happy to compare notes as far as a status check there.
I think this is the 400,000 is the issue, because you added 400,000 in expenditures the very first amendment. That's not been changed. So this, the most recent amendment increased the levy by 650. And so I would say that we don't have a balanced budget by $400,000.
The amendment that was just adopted added, split the difference. So there was a removal of it from municipal court fines initially that added it to the levy along with the new expenditures. Amendment one added 1.7 million right. to the levy.
Yes.
Then we had two amendments that addressed the same issue. One was undoing 1.3 million and the other adding back 650,000.
Right. But you still haven't mentioned the 1.7 covered right. the 1.3 plus the $400,000 in additional expenditures. And I haven't.
My running tally of additional expenditures is the 400 plus 650. So $1,050,000 is the current additional levy.
Yes, that would be correct.
The running total of what we're shifting to the levy.
All right. Yes. Okay. I'm fine with that.
And now we have an amendment before us that
I'm fine with the numbers add up. That doesn't mean the mayor's going to be support this.
And just to be clear now, the running.
So that was Councilman Ricks' question. So you still have the floor, Councilman Ricks.
You have the floor.
It's my thought process that in the event that this budget actually comes down to a 5-4 vote and it becomes subject to a mayoral veto, then there would be a separate hearing in which the nine of us would have the opportunity, regardless of it, whether this budget ultimately passed 5-4, 6-3, or by any other number, to vote on the budget once again. So unless I'm misunderstanding Councilman Sinapi on this point, I don't think that a concern about a mayoral veto is something that we should necessarily be factoring in at this particular time.
My opinion on that is this is the council meeting, this is the council budget, and I think we should vote on how we think it should go, and the mayor is on the administration, we're the council, and I think you should vote your conscience and vote what you think is best, and we'll see what happens. I don't see how a potential event from someone that we can't, that has nothing to do with us. That's not a vote right now. There's the nine of us that are voting on this. So, Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. President. I will not be supporting this. I am not in fear of a mayoral veto. I can remember back several years ago when we had four vetoes come to us at one meeting and we overrode all four vetoes. Sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't. But that's why they do what they do, and we do what we do. But I won't be supporting this. Thank you.
I think there's also a question of whether doing it this way is consistent with how the charter is written as well, which could also be taken into effect. So,
if that's going to be claimed, then I request a ruling by the chair.
Councilman, hold on 1 second.
Point of, I request a ruling by the chair if that's going to be raised. Rule one.
I Councilman, I don't understand. What are you asking?
Rule, request a ruling by the chair on an issue, and if this is one that has to be decided on, and if it's going to be raised as a basis to potentially vote no, then I want a ruling on it. The chair is empowered to rule, and depending on your ruling, I may request an appeal to the greater council. Greater council? Full council, sorry.
I don't think anyone has raised that. I just made a statement.
You just did. You can't raise it and not stand by it. You got to go one way or another. If it's going to be raised as a potential issue, then I would request a ruling on it. And it has been raised as a potential issue. So again, I request a ruling on it.
So I will look to the council solicitor to explain.
Councilman Snappy, are you asserting that the amendment that you've offered is violative of the charter? Are you challenging your own amendment?
No. The point was raised that it may be against the charter. I am challenging that point, which may or may not defeat the amendment. I acknowledge that. But what I want people to do is to vote yes or no based on facts, not based on maybes.
We do not currently have a motion that your amendment violates the charter. So unless someone's going to assert it, we're going to move forward on your amendment.
It's a point of order, shall decide all questions and points of order. This was a point of order that has been raised to the chair. I don't need to make a motion. Rule one, second paragraph. I'll just go with it. First sentence.
The point of order comes to me, correct?
Yep.
Yes.
So you're looking for me to rule your amendment out of order. That's what you're looking for.
Whether or not it is out of order per the charter.
Okay. Well, first, I just think that we've already voted on this. This is just, 1.3 million plus $1. I think we've all given our positions on this as well. I do think there's a charter. A question on this. I didn't offer it earlier. People were throwing out, they're worried about what the mayor might do. So I mentioned that as well. So I do believe there could be questions on the way that this was done through the charter. I think a straight up vote on your amendment should be what we will do. I understand that you're allowed to make this point of order and try and do that. I just think we've already voted on this, and I'm willing to just take the vote on it and see where it goes. But I do think you've asked, so I do think the way that the charter interprets this, I think they expected something like this, the way it's written, that something like this could come on it. So that's why they have that particular provision. So
in that case, may I ask a question of the administration? Have you a rule?
Well, again, this is the council meeting. I don't know why the administration is weighing in on, they can't vote.
I know they've weighed in on everything, though.
Mr. President.
No,
Mr. President.
Mayor, this is a council meeting.
You can gavel all you want.
Council.
Under 3-10 of the city charter,
Mayor Pocosi, you are out of order right now. Please.
I'm not.
Let us, we are conducting a meeting right now. I will get to you. You've been able to speak the entire time. I will give you that
as allowed by charter
as well. You're not a member of the council, so excuse me. So please,
Article 3.10 of the city charter.
You are not recognized. You are out of order. You will be recognized at the appropriate time. So we're back to the motion.
And as part of the motion, just like we've done for every other motion,
Solicitor
I have a question.
Walsh, please.
Solicitor Walsh, just so I'm clear, just to make sure what I'm saying is getting across, because I'm not sure it is. I just have a question for the administration about my motion, just like we've had with all the other motions. Nothing different or crazy.
The mayor has the ability to speak in front of the council at the call of the chair. When the president recognizes him, he'll be able to speak. So there's no issue on that.
Makes sense.
We just want to make sure we're all aware of where we're at, what's before us. So we have a question being raised, a point of order being raised by Councilman Sinapi on his amendment of whether it is violative of the charter. We can hear the administration's perspective as it relates to, I'm sorry, I was speaking like, we can hear the administration's perspective as to why they justify what they did or not, as it relates to, does it meet Section 520? And they can speak to that, but we're going to proceed immediately back to the chair or the president at this time, after that, who will rule, and then we can proceed. So
that makes perfect sense. Thank you.
Just to bring everyone back to where we are, is the charter provision 520 anticipated new revenue. Cites no new revenue from a source not previously stated in the budget shall be included unless the mayor and the director of finance shall determine the facts clearly, determine that the facts clearly warrant the expectation that such revenue shall be actually realized in cash during the fiscal year in the amount stated and shall certify such determination in writing to the council. I don't believe anyone is challenging the written portion. There was a budget message as well as numbers that back that up. So it's really on the other piece of it is, I think, where Councilman Sinapi is challenging it. And so it would be in order to recognize the mayor and back to the chair for his ruling.
Mayor Pecozzi.
Thank you, Mr. President. I apologize for raising my voice to you. Could you repeat the question, Councilman? It's been a while.
So the possibility was raised by the chair that the amendment was violative of the chair. When it comes to the section that the solicitor spoke of, I just wanted the administration to weigh in as to whether or not they felt it was violative and why. That way people on the council can vote yay or nay on the overall amendment based on the facts rather than based on speculation.
My solicitor has interpreted the charter differently than Solicitor Walsh has. I naturally agree with my solicitor. We couldn't have him here tonight because I didn't know how the conversation was going to go. In a perfect world, we'd adjourn here and bring back the other solicitor so you could hear both sides. I was willing to abide by your solicitor's opinion on this and let the council have the say. I don't want to be in violation of the charter, and neither do you. I could be violating the charter by leaving it up to you. I'm not sure. I'm not an attorney.
All right. I mean, from my perspective, the administration provided it in writing and certified it already. So for me, it's an easy call, but take that as you will.
So on the point of order, the council president, what say you as it relates to the amendment being inconsistent with the charter?
Again, I do agree with that. I do believe this amendment is inconsistent with the charter. It talks about how clearly warrants the expectation that such revenue shall be actually realized in cash during the fiscal year. This has not come before the city council. It has not been proposed. It has not been voted on. We don't have the research. We don't know who the vendor is going to be. We don't know how many cameras. We don't know where the cameras are going to be. We don't know the timeline. All these things we will know down the line if it comes before us. But today, tonight, we don't have that information. So I didn't want to get into a charter dispute on this. But I, as the chair, I was asked, and that was the motion. So yes, I believe that this is in violation of the charter.
Just so you know, I said I would withdraw that if the administration spoke. So you actually didn't have to rule. But given that you did, I now will appeal to the majority of the, or to the full council under Rule 1.
Councilman Sinapi is appealing the ruling of the chair. If a yes vote would sustain the chair's ruling that this amendment is out of order, and no vote would enable the amendment to be back before us.
Okay. The clerk will call the roll. So a yes vote is the, yep.
Is out of order. There's no discussion.
There's no discussion on the point of order.
This is, shall the opinion of the chair be sustained? The opinion of the, shall the president's ruling that this amendment is out of order be sustained? A yes makes the amendment out of order. A no would allow it to be brought back.
The clerk will call the roll.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
No.
Mr. Gephardt?
No.
Mr. Howe?
No.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy? Mr. Riggs?
Yes.
Mr. Snappy? Mr. Snappy?
I got confused because the chair voted yes. So which one sustains?
A yes vote is with the ruling of the chair, which the amendment is out of order.
So no then.
Yes.
Okay, so now, Council, go ahead, Solicitor Walsh. Motion is not made out of order, so Mr. Snappy is able to make.
So the amendment's before us.
All right, and now it is ruling of the council order. It is not out of order, and it is not violative of the charter, nor can anyone allege it's at least here. So unless there's further discussion, I call the vote.
Okay, so before us is the add $1.3 million plus $1. Which line item was that?
To add the $1.3 million and $1 back to the municipal court fines and offset the levy, which would actually, I think, to offset the levy by the corresponding amount.
Okay, so they add $1.3 million and $1 back in. The clerk will call the roll.
Mr. McAllister?
No.
Mr. Foley? Mr. Gephardt?
No.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
No.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Riggs?
No.
Mr. Snappy?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
No.
3 yes, 6 no, motion fails.
Okay, motion fails. Any other amendments at this time for members of the council? Okay, any amendments?
Yes.
Oh, Councilman Lattiser.
So one of my amendments is regarding, and there's no line item for this. It's on page 5 in personnel, so I'll need guidance from the solicitor with this, is to remove the $76,000 that was taken for a pension advisor, I believe it was, it's maybe not the exact word, and move it back into pension assets.
And so one more time, just the amendment, we'll get a second.
To remove the $76,000 that has created a new line item, it's a new job description for a pension advisor, I'm going to use as the word, is something formal in the binders, and move that money back into the pension assets. That's my motion.
Okay, do we have a second? Second by Councilman Riggs. Go ahead.
The reason for that, Mr. President, is kind of along the lines of some of the things we've been discussing this evening, is this is a brand new line item. It's just been presented in this budget. It's a new job description. However, we don't have a job description. We don't have what the costs are associated to this position. We don't know, is this going to be an employee position that is going to require benefits, or is it going to be a subcontractor position? There is no explanation to this at all. And I do have concerns because this is being taken out of the pension assets, which belong to the employees. I have a concern as to whether or not this is something that needs to be voted on by the appropriate pension people. So not knowing that and not having the answers to those questions, that's what is prompting me to move that 76 out of this budget and back into pension assets.
Okay, thank you. Can I just get the full number, 76, the dollar
76,
amount?
76,000.
76,000, okay. Any questions or comments? Councilman Howe.
Thank you, Mr. President. And I will appeal to the councilman to withdraw with this statement. We had a meeting, first of all, understand I am the representative for the City Council as the finance chair on the pension board, and that we had a meeting where we sought out and to find a company. We hired a company, Siegel, to do a pension administration study, how the city could save money addressing the concerns of this council, how the city could more effectively run the pension, save money, and in a timely manner get the pensions and the financials in order. That recommendation was sent down, and one of the conclusions is that conclusion, overall, the findings indicate that Warwick and its pension plan staff are generally meeting the needs of participants. The next step is for Warwick leadership and plan trustees review, evaluate, and prioritize. And I'm sorry, I'm just reading as I go. One of the recommendations was create a position so that there is someone who specifically handles the pensions for the city. So therefore, there'll be one person that'll make sure that'll ensure the effectiveness and operations of the pensions, and that anticipates that will organize and work effectively for the city. So they're recommending a pension administrator, if you will, someone who will handle that within the city, and that's where this position comes from. Upon a recommendation hired by the pensions board. So, thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Councilwoman Travis.
Thank you, Mr. President. And this question is for Mr. Howell. Is this the person that was a retiree that came back to help out, that already knew the process?
I don't know. Councilwoman, I'm speaking on the recommendation of the consultants. I'm speaking on the recommendation of the consultants that we put this in place so that we have someone to oversee the pensions to ensure that it's effective and properly. The overwatch is complete. So instead of running into situations where you have multiple hands trying to assist people with their pensions, there's one person who's responsible for that.
Okay, because I know the personnel director did talk about, someone coming back that knew, was already experienced. No. And I was wondering if that's why it was a new position, but you're not sure. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Councilman Lattice, sir.
To Councilman Howe's opening statement, I have no intentions of withdrawing any of my comments because my comments were very appropriate. I believe that what you're quoting from is the Searle report, I think what it is, a 20-some page document. However, what I said was, we have no knowledge, no information, no anything about this position? Is it a subcontract position? Will there be benefits associated to this? Will there be pensions associated to this? Is this an hourly job? Or, you know, who is going to oversee this person? What is the job description of this person? We don't have anything. This is essentially just cutting a blank check for $76,000 for a position we know nothing about. What we do know that is in that report is that there appears to be a need for this position. Short of that, we have no idea what it means. And I don't know, perhaps through the chair to Councilman Howell, maybe you can tell us as finance chair, will this position be paying benefits? Do we have healthcare costs associated with it? Is there pensions? Is it an employee? Is it a subcontractor? We have no knowledge. So what we're doing is we're just appropriating $76,000, which we could do, you know, at any time during the year. This can be an item that goes out for bid, and this position can be done through the bid process. So to me, this is something that we are funding, but we are funding blindly because we have no idea what this position entails, what it costs, who's going to do it, who is overseeing it, who's overseeing this person, who does this person answer to. So that's my issues, and that's my reasons for moving it back into the pension assets.
It is located in the personnel department, Mr. President, just to answer your question, but if the administration.
Thank you. Mayor, do you have thoughts on this amendment?
Well, yes, on that reasoning, you can just take every employee out of the budget because he knows nothing about all of their job descriptions, what the costs associated are. Peter, I'd like you to speak to this position because you have better knowledge of it.
But absolutely, it's going to be a position posted, regular city employee position. The funding source would be pension assets. And it's based upon it won't happen until the retirement board acts. And that's in the mayor's budget message. Nothing's going to happen until the retirement board both approves doing this and second, using pension assets for the purposes of funding it.
So in other words, we can't move that money anywhere. It's not our money. It comes from the pension board. So if the position wasn't created, the money wouldn't exist.
Any questions or comments? I just let me check, make sure. Anyone that hasn't got a chance to speak yet? Councilman Lattiser.
I couldn't understand what the mayor's comments were about all the employees, but my question to Mr. Schaefer is, do I understand you correctly that this will be a payroll position?
Yes.
It will come with all of the benefits, et cetera, of that position?
Yes.
And who, under whose supervision is that person?
The personnel director.
And does that person work out of the personnel department?
Yes.
So it will be, in fact, a new position created in personnel?
Yes.
And this expenditure has been approved by the pension board?
No, the mayor's message talks about not proceeding on this until the retirement board meets at its next meeting in June.
So we don't even know if the pension board is going to approve this or not.
So that's what the mayor's message said.
Okay. Is this something that the members of the bargaining unit would have to vote on, being that it's their pension assets that are being spent?
Well, their members, the bargaining unit participates on the retirement board, so they will certainly have a vote.
A member of the union?
Yes.
Sits on the pension board.
Yes.
The members of the union do not all sit on the pension board.
That's
my
correct.
Question was, do the members of the respective bargaining groups have to vote for this expenditure of their assets?
The answer is no.
You're positive of that?
Yes.
Okay.
And I would add to that, the public does have a seat on the board. It's called an elected official, the people they elect and the people they appoint. And that would probably be, that would be myself. Thank you, Councilman. And I also would like to address that, yes, they would be entitled to health care, the same as every part-time member of this council has health care, and quite a few take advantage of.
Exactly.
Thank you.
And I am one of them. I am one of them. You want to keep alluding to that.
One at a time, please.
I absolutely do, Councilman Howe. And I'm very familiar with the makeup of the pension board because I served on it for 4 years, in case and if you happen to forget. So I'm well aware of how it works. The questions are prudent. It doesn't require, nor does it warrant your critiquing or criticism, sir.
Okay. Any other questions or comments on this amendment? So the Lattiser amendment at this time is to withdraw the $76,000 and put it back into the pension assets line item. It's been moved and seconded. The clerk will call the roll for favorable action. No.
Mr. Foley?
No.
Mr. Gephardt?
No.
Mr. Howe?
No.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
No.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi?
No.
Ms. Travis?
No.
2 yes, 7 no. Motion fails. Amendment fails.
Thank you. Councilman Lattiser?
Yes, I have another one. It's actually my last one. By the way, just for the record, I'd just like to point out that last year I had made 3 or 4 amendments, of which the votes all came 8-1, me being the one. And I would point out that the proof is in the pudding.
Councilman, you got to make an amendment,
sir,
get a second.
Got it. Okay. Well, as I said, this one is a bit complicated. We had lengthy discussion regarding step increases and longevity increases, and who is allowed and who is not allowed, policy, no policy, et cetera. So I have copies of what I'm going to read to you. If you'd like a copy, I can present it to all of you. But I'm going to start first with the executive order from Mayor Avedisian back in 2000.
Well, Councilman, we need an amendment first and a second.
The amendment will be to remove from the budget any step increases or longevity increases that were awarded to employees who are not qualified to receive, who do not qualify to receive those increases.
Is there a second for discussion?
Second for discussion only.
Yep. Go ahead, Councilman Lattiser.
So the executive order signed by Mayor Avedisian on June 7, 2004, I'm going to read it to you, and I'll read you a follow-up. The Avedisian administration shares the financial concerns of Warwick residents and businesses, and whereas many years ago, a longevity system was implemented as a financial incentive to long-term employees, and whereas the system cost millions of dollars per year, and whereas the city of Warwick wishes to take further steps to reduce the financial impact on the taxpayers. Now, therefore, be it resolved that I, Scott Avedisian, mayor of the city of Warwick, do hereby order that non-union employees hired subsequent to July 1st, 2004, will no longer be eligible to receive longevity. A follow-up executive order. And by the way, these executive orders, according to the records that I have not been rescinded. So on 2005, an executive order on 2005, also from Mayor Avedisian, signed by him on May 4th, 2005. It says, whereas the Avedisian administration shares the financial concerns of Warwick residents and businesses, and whereas many years ago, a longevity system was implemented as a financial incentive to long-term employees, and whereas the system costs millions of dollars per year and places an undue burden on the taxpayers. As a part of ongoing efforts to implement cost-saving measures, last year, the Avedisian administration put into effect Executive Order 2004-10 to eliminate longevity payments to non-union employees hired subsequent to July 4th, 2004. And it is important that that order remain in effect indefinitely. Now, therefore, it be resolved that I, Scott Avedisian, Mayor of the City of Warwick, do hereby reaffirm Executive Order 2004-10. So, my point is, based upon those executive orders, it states that those longevity increases and step increases are gone. They do not apply. And that was the discussion that we had on Monday. Unless someone has something that eliminates that or rescinds those executive orders, then I would say that those executive orders remain in place, which means those step increases and longevity increases that were spoken to at length and referred to as such should be removed from the budget. That's what I've got.
Thank you, Councilman Lattice, sir. Councilman Ricks.
I'm recalling our first, or at least my first budget hearing along with the council president and finance chair, Tim Howe. Back in 2017, we had numerous amendments to that budget. During that budget, as part of the Mayor Avedisian's proposed budget, there were numerous department heads and the like who were being given raises in double digits, 10, 12, 15, sometimes greater than 15%. And this city council, including Councilman Lattice, examined those various line items. In fact, if I recall correctly, Councilman Lattice truly took the lead with that. And the city council chopped those raises down, in most cases, chopped them down to single-digit raises as opposed to double-digit raises. Thereafter, Mayor Avedisian declined to veto the budget. However, he made a statement that he would honor the raises, original double-digit raises, as promised, and that's what he did. So I have to be cognizant here that when it comes to an amendment to reduce some of these raises to various non-union employees who are not entitled to a step raise or the like by virtue of a union contract, yes, it's true that they do not automatically receive those raises. It is something that the administration ultimately decides and has the prerogative to include that in their proposed budget. And we have the prerogative as a city council to cut those proposed raises. However, at the end of the day, the administration does have the authority under the city charter to rearrange money within the tax levy in order to fund those various increases, even if and despite the city council cutting those particular line items. In this particular situation, from our previous discussions as a city council, and I am open to new information on this, but the information that has been raised during the presentations to this time, it does not strike me as the rather ridiculous double-digit raises that Mayor Avedisian was giving to well over a dozen different positions. So I think that the mayor, the administration, are within their authority to have certain reasonable step increases to certain non-union employees. And unless we as a city council want to make a symbolic gesture amendment to reduce those particular line items, I think that where it's warranted, I'm in favor of it, just as I voted back in 2017. But I'm not going to take the position of saying that the mayor, the administration, don't have the authority to necessarily give any sort of increase to various non-union employees either. Just factoring in inflation, things of that nature, and trying to run the city and retain employees in a business-like manner. So those are my comments, and I'm open to changing my mind based on the facts being different than my understanding of them. But at this time, I would be leaning toward voting no on this particular amendment for those reasons. Thank you.
Councilman Foley.
Can I call the question, please?
Is there any additional questions or comments on this? Okay, it has been moved in second for the Lattiser amendment. Moved in second for favorable action. The clerk will call the roll.
Mr. McAllister?
No.
Mr. Foley?
No.
Mr. Gephardt?
No.
Mr. Howe?
No.
Mr. Lattiser? Mr. McElroy?
No.
Mr. Ricks?
No.
Mr. Sinapi? Ms. Travis?
No.
One yes, eight no. Amendment fails.
Thank you. Councilman Lattiser, any more amendments?
That's all I have.
Do we have any more amendments at this time for members of the council? Okay, Solicitor Walsh.
So I have something. So I'm not sure if we want to take a break first because it's weird and complicated. Right.
If we could do the one housekeeping item quick.
Yes, let's do a housekeeping item.
We do have PCR 4849, which is the supplemental and transfers from the prior fiscal. If we want to address that quick before we set the final budget and rate.
Solicitor, I'm sorry, if you could speak up. I really just cannot hear you.
We've been discussing and making amendments on PCR 49 with the budget. We do also have PCR 4824 that we want to address as a vote first. So this is the supplemental and transfers and emergency appropriations. It's a separate item. Before we conclude the other business, it'd be good to do this one first. So if there's no objection from the council to proceed to...
So this is line item PCR 4824, and then Councilman Sinapi has... a question before we vote on the actual physical budget. What's that? Yeah, question. Any questions on PCR 48-24? Okay, hearing none, the clerk will call a roll for we need a motion to move it favorable. Motion by Foley, second by Howe, and Councilman McElroy. Thank you. Favorable action on PCR 48-24. The clerk will call the roll.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi? Ms. Travis?
Yes.
9 yes.
Thank you. So next is PCR 49-24, Councilman Sinapi.
So I'm in receipt of a legal memo regarding revenue, whether or not the council has the authority to change it. And I'm not comfortable voting until we get word on that, because I don't want to vote counter to a legal memo and then run into legal troubles later not having bothered to address this.
If the question is whether we have the authority to address revenue items, it's something we do every year. The rainy day fund is an example of a revenue item that we borrow from and pay back. And we've made amendments in the past to address different revenue components. And it seems odd to not be able to address one half of an item of the budget itself. The charter allows for the council and Section 5.5 to increase and decrease different items except for certain fixed items and have to either offset them or add it to the levy So I would respectfully disagree with the assessment that we do not have the authority to modify any revenue projection, regardless of how precise or imprecise they are.
So just so I'm clear, I mean, the part about the rainy day fund doesn't seem material because that's just shifting funds from one to another as opposed to revenue. But Section 5.5 of the charter lays out powers that the council has. It says the powers that we have specifically, and obviously if it doesn't say them, we don't have them. And it only references proposed expenditures, and the only time it references revenue is the levy, and only collaterally, insofar as it only, we only can change it if we increase the total expenditures.
The opening sentence of 5.5, the council may insert new items or may increase or decrease the items of the budget, except items in proposed expenditures fixed by law. Before us is incorporated as part of PCR 49 are three different booklets of information that have both revenue and expenditures. A plain reading of the charter would indicate that the council has the abilities of both sides of the ledger.
Alrighty, just bear in mind, not only do I not agree with that, but I think we risk a legal challenge over something silly. But I was already going to vote no on the budget anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Okay. So, Solicitor, while you have your mic on, can you give us where we stand at this point so everybody is clear what's before us with the math that you went with the administration, and they, I'll just have ask them to confirm that we have the same numbers.
Back to PCR 4924, we have made a series of amendments that in total add $1,050,000 to the tax levy. This corresponds to a 7-cent increase per thousand to the residential and 12-cent increase per thousand to the commercial. So the new figures that are being amended into PCR 4924 sub A are that the total personal property in section 2 of the resolution, the new sum is increased by the $1,050,000 to a total of $236,550,000. And in section 4, the new rates per the sub A would be class 1 property $14.47 per thousand, and class 2 property $25.32 per thousand, and class 3 remains unchanged.
And I just want to confirm with the administration, those are the same numbers that you have, correct? The treasurer and the finance director are shaking their heads. Yes. So that is before us here. It's PCR 49-24 as amended. Questions on the overall, Councilman Howe?
So what is the total? The mayor came to us with a 1.48% increase. What is the total percent increase that we are looking at with that additional 7 or the 7 cents?
I'll defer to the finance director for the precise figure.
1.97.
Once again,
that doesn't mean the mayor signed on. I'm just saying from this act,
understood,
adding $1,050,000, that's the rates would go up 1.97% instead of 1.48%.
Any other questions or comments on PCR 49-24 as amended? Do we have a motion? Councilman Foley.
Move favorable action.
Second by Councilman Gephardt. The clerk will call a roll for favorable action on PCR 4924 as amended.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Riggs?
Yes.
Mr. Snappy?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
9 yes as amended.
Thank you. 9 yes as amended. We're now moving to unanimous consent. Ward 1, anything to docket under unanimous
President,
consent?
Mr. President, excuse me. So we're voting on the entire budget at that vote.
Correct.
I move to reconsider.
Yeah, I'd join him on that one.
Okay.
I was under a different impression. Sorry.
As was I. I thought we were voting on the other portion and then going to vote on the thing overall.
We already voted.
Our own fault, not yet.
Okay. All right. Read to consider by Lattiser, second by Sanapi. Clerk will call the roll. They want to reconsider. They didn't.
The budget was passed 9-0.
We misunderstood.
There was a request to reconsider by and seconded by another member, both of the prevailing side. Yes.
Yeah. No, we're voting on their motion to reconsider, so they could change their vote.
Bring it back before us. Well, is it merely to change the vote, or is it to discuss?
Sorry?
Is it to change the vote or to discuss?
No, I want to change the vote.
If there,
I'm done with discussion.
Is there anybody else who's in the similar position where it's not changing the outcome of the vote? Is anyone else looking to change their vote? Donna is? Anyone else?
Yeah, I didn't go right back.
We'll do a clean.
We'll hear the motion reconsider. Any objections?
Any objections to reconsidering? Okay, so hearing none, we are back before us on PCR 4924 as amended. So the
item by unanimous consent has been brought back before us. Councilman Foley, if you wish to make the same amendment on favorable action as amended.
Councilman Foley.
We are repeating the process because the members wanted to change their vote.
Okay, so we are now voting again on the budget.
Correct.
I move favorable action.
Thank you. Second by Councilman Howe and Councilman Ricks. Councilman Gephardt. Okay, so this is the vote on the budget. PCR 4924 as amended. The clerk will call the roll for favorable action. Yes.
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 No.
Yes.
Yes.
No.
No.
Thank you. Six yes, three no. The motion passes. All right. Now we move to unanimous consent. Ward 1, anything under unanimous consent? Ward 2.
Pass.
Ward 3. Ward 4.
Pass.
Ward 5.
Pass.
Ward 6.
Pass.
Ward 7 passes. Ward 8.
Solicitor, do you want me to docket that thing now, or do we just keep doing what we're doing?
We're under unanimous consent.
I know.
There's anything you bring before unanimous consent, if it's currently docketed, would be on the next agenda, or if draftable, it could also just be docketed, so it would probably be a docket
right.
Item.
Pass.
Wouldn't I?
Pass.
Councilwoman Travis.
If there be no further business of this honorable body, I move to a docket session.
All those in favor of moving the docket session, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Didn't think so. Ward 1, anything to docket this evening? Ward 2.
Pass.
Ward 3.
Aye.
Ward 4.
Pass.
Ward 5.
I have 7.
Yeah.
Pass.
Ward 6.
Pass.
Ward 7 passes. Ward 8.
1, resolution of support of the Rhode Island Civil Rights Enforcement Act.
Intergovernmental. Looking for co-sponsors. Foley, Ricks, Councilman McElroy, Councilwoman Travis. Ward 9.
Pass.
Okay. Thank you very much, everyone. We are adjourned.